The late, great Betty White once said, "Retirement is not in my vocabulary. They aren't going to get rid of me that way." And she was right. The Golden Girls star was still acting and producing when she passed away just 3 weeks shy of her 100th birthday. If only we could all be more like Betty White.
I'm so lucky. I love what I do. And it's fun. And it's I'm with delightful people. And so everybody says, "Are you thinking of retiring?" Translated, that means, "Are you ever going to get out of our face?" And I'm afraid the answer is no. I just love what I do.
From Mackenzie Investments, I'm Brian Borzakowski, and this is Retirement Rewired, a three-part podcast on how ideas around retirement are changing. We'll explore how people want to spend their 60s, 70s, and beyond, and what it means to be invested in your retirement so you can have a future where you can do almost anything you want. Years ago, saying you wanted to do something other than retire would have been met with dumbfounded faces. What else would you want to do? Now, more and more Canadians are thinking like Betty White. Today's retirees, and I put retirees in quotation marks, want to keep working. Maybe start a new business, travel, play sports, and go for drinks with friends.
I think the idea of retirement's changed in a number of ways.
That's Bruce Sellery, author of two books, host of the Moolala podcast, and CEO of Credit Canada.
In generations past, you work, 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 you retire. And it begins a very different life than you had the Friday prior. For people today, I think they look at it as something that will unfold over time. So maybe they're going to consult. Maybe they're going to just have a different job that they go out and do. I also think we are moving towards a values-driven retirement versus a leisure-driven retirement. And what I mean by that is people are getting a really good sense for what is important to them. Is it about contribution or health or family or travel or learning? And they're building that phase of their life in a way that has them have more of what's really, really important to them.
But what about golf?
Four!
Of course, there's golf and there's curling and there's bridge and there's pickleball, all those things. It just is that it's not at the core of everything. And I think that's a big shift. Another thing that has shifted is a much more visceral understanding of the phases that we may well go through in retirement. There is the go-go, the, you know, "I'm traveling the world, it's going to be so great." Then there's the slow go, where, you know, I might not be leaving my house too much. I'm having a lovely time in my garden, but it's a lower cost retirement than the one in which, you know, you tour the capitals of Europe. Then the third phase is the no-go. And this is a high, if you make it this long, this is a high cost part of your life if you need significant care in some sort of an assisted living facility. It's only the first phase that gets the glossy marketing. And you can see why, right? Like you can, it's so aspirational. You're on a Vespa, you're doing yoga, you look amazing, you just happen to have gray hair. The other two phases are ones that they don't get marketed and that people have less visibility into. And I think that is starting to change.
Why do you think retirement has changed?
Well, certainly we are living longer. We aren't necessarily living healthier, but we're living longer. And I think that's a really important observation to say that if we take the average life expectancy and tack on five extra years, those five extra years aren't necessarily you aging in place. It could be for some people, if not many people, that those five extra years are in some sort of assisted care. And if that's the case, your retirement just got a whole lot more expensive. The other thing about the change of retirement, why is it happening? The labor market has changed dramatically. So there is, people stay at employers for shorter periods of time. There are more people working in the gig economy. There certainly remains ageism in our culture that would sometimes push older people out of the workforce. So there are many, many different factors. Financially, folks who have been able to save and benefited from the rise in the stock market may have the financial freedom in order to make that choice to retire. And a generation ago, they wouldn't have the freedom, have had the freedom to make that choice.
If retirement, if the idea of retirement has changed, how has saving or investing for retirement changed?
I think broadly, and this is across generation, we have seen a higher responsibility placed on the individual. And this is a real challenge. So back in the day, people had defined benefit pension plans, or they lived a life where they could fathom that CPP and OAS would be sufficient. They'd have paid off their house. Those two government programs were sufficient alongside whatever else their employer gave them. And that's simply no longer the case. If you don't save outside of those government programs, if you don't have the support of an employer pension, you will be hard-pressed to put groceries in your fridge. And a part of that is the cost of living has risen so dramatically, housing, food, all those sorts of things. And so there's a level of complexity and a level of responsibility on the shoulders of individuals.
As Bruce said, it's now often up to the retirees themselves to save enough. And if you are going to be more active in retirement, then you'll need a bigger nest egg than your parents did. What is the right amount to save? Mackenzie's 2022 retirement survey found that half of Canadians over 50 and who have not yet retired think they need at least $1 million to retire comfortably. Another 20% have no idea how much they need to save. Of course, the actual number will depend on when or even if you want to retire. And what do you even want to do with your life? So we decided to ask you.
It's not something that I have a pretty good handle on. I have no idea how much money I'll need to retire. Just a lot and more than I'm going to think I'm going to need.
So I don't think I'll ever retire, mainly because I enjoy doing what I'm doing and I like to keep doing it for as long as humanly possible. But I think I'd slow down for a bit.
I've been planning like a nerd. I've been putting money in RRSPs for as long as I've been able to and in tax-free savings every month. I think in an ideal world, I would have between $2,000 and $3,000 a month to live on.
I've like started a pension, but I only started that pension 5 years ago and I'm 39.
I have some good news and some bad news for those who want to live a rewired retirement. Let's start with the good. Many older Canadians may be in a better financial position than they think. To get a better idea of the state of Canada's retirement market, I ventured out to Toronto and spoke with Carlos Cardone, Senior Managing Director at Investor Economics and one of the country's top experts on financial industry trends.
Well, the retirement market is one of the largest pieces of the entire marketplace. Something that we do very well at Investor Economics is to measure the financial holdings of households. The size of the market these days is close to $6 trillion overall. That includes deposits, investment funds, and securities. And within that, the retirement market is close to 43% of all assets. And there are very important and very interesting characteristics, of course, for service providers to that market connected to the composition, the number of households, the distribution of wealth. For example, that is the segment of the population with the highest incidence of millionaires. And this is something that certainly accelerated during the pandemic. Those are financial assets, that discretionary money that can be moving from one instrument to another. That includes everything deposits, everything investment funds, like mutual funds, ETFs, segregated funds, and so on.
How are retirees then having this bigger nest egg? Does this mean they're saving a lot through their working years?
They're saving, yes. Yes, this is something that is clearly there in the numbers. Of course, in addition to net savings, there's a very significant, of course, in longer time periods, not this year maybe, but there's a significant contribution from market effect over time in the form of income generated by investments, in the form of raising valuations over long periods of time. Again, not necessarily 2022, as we know, but those are really the sources that bring these together.
If retiree saving is the good news, then what's the bad?
I'm Stanley Johnson. I've got a great family. I've got a 4-bedroom house in a great community. Like my car? It's new. I even belong to the local golf club. How do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely pay my finance charges.
That clip is from a famous LendingTree commercial that aired in 2005, before the era of near-zero interest rates made borrowing money even more appealing. If a now-retired Stanley Johnson did another commercial today, he'd likely still be in debt. According to Statistics Canada, in 2019, 30% of all Canadian families were debt-free. Of that number, 56% of senior-led families had no debt, down from 73% in 1999. Here's another stat to chew on. In 2019, about 12% of retirees had a mortgage. In 1999, just 6% were still paying off their home.
And it's a trend that really started with the baby boomer generation. There's something in general about debt happening, with retirement and beyond retirement, which is that the debt cycle as part of the life cycle of households has been extended. Generation after generation, on average, again, the debt-taking starts earlier and ends later compared to the previous generation. If we go back to a few generations to what we usually call the silent generation, there was usually a very, very strict use of debt, usually connected to real estate, mortgages. Right? Yeah. And that has changed generation after generation. If you look at millennials, Gen Z, what you see is that many of them are taking fairly significant amounts of debt very early on to fund their post-secondary education. And in many cases, the situation of their parents is that they are dealing with very expensive real estate, with heavy debt loads of themselves. And that's also preventing them in some cases to save for that end.
Let's get back to the good news. Generally, Canadians are thinking about how they want to spend their time, about 2,000 hours per year after they stop working. McKinsey's latest research found that 80% of Canadians 50 and older who are not retired have at least some ideas about their retirement plan and have started saving for retirement. As for what people want to do, more than 50% of Canadians who are not yet retired say they want to spend their time relaxing, working on hobbies and interests, and traveling. With people carrying more debt and with fewer people solely relying on workplace pensions, many are concerned about whether they'll have enough to fund their post-working lifestyle. According to McKinsey's survey, half of Canadians 50 and older are considering postponing their retirement so they can earn more money, while 60% of not yet retired Canadians say they'll need a larger retirement income. Here's the bottom line. A rewired retirement involves careful planning, help from a financial professional, and the desire to build a life that's uniquely your own.
Retirement is complex. Retirement is unique. Retirement is fun as long as you plan.
This is Sylvia Vago, Associate Vice President of Retirement Solutions at McKinsey Investments. If anyone knows the ways in which retirement has evolved and how to plan for a rewired future, it's her.
So normally when we think about retirement, you know, when you see it in the newspaper or on TV, you see this couple walking down the beach with, you know, gray hair, holding hands, smiling, looking at the sunset, collecting, you know, their paycheck, and they know exactly how much they're going to get every month and how long it's going to last. Because before, a lot of people had this defined benefit plan and they don't really have any sort of concerns. So now, when you fast forward, there's been a decline in these defined benefit plans. So you don't necessarily know if you have enough money. You don't know how much you could get every month. You don't know how long it's going to last. You may not necessarily just want to walk down the beach anymore holding hands looking at the sunset. You may want to travel. You may want to work. So there's so many instances now of everyone's retirement is completely unique.
To help make planning easier, McKinsey Investments identified 6 needs advisors and investors should focus on.
We've actually done research at McKinsey, and we've also looked at third-party research where we've identified what is most important to people. So what are they really looking to get out of retirement? So the first piece is what we were speaking about. Truly, what will give you purpose? What will give you value? What will make you excited to get out of bed in the morning? What will make you look back on those 30 years to say, you know what, I've truly lived a fulfilling life? So I think understanding those non-financial needs is key before you do any financial planning. So once you've established what will provide you that purpose, I think it's very important to look at, do I have the financial capacity to be able to support what I want to get out of my purposeful retirement? So by that, I mean, you know, do I have enough? How long is it going to last? Am I going to be able to have enough money to support my new hobbies or traveling or visiting family? I want to make sure that I have enough income. The third piece that's really important is to make sure that you're optimizing your tax. So you're optimizing the after-tax income that you're receiving. There's many, many different sources of income potentially in retirement. So you could have CPP or QPP if you're in Quebec, OAS, old age security. You could have non-registered assets. You could have RSP, TFSA assets. You could have corporate assets. So there's a lot of different factors of where you potentially could be getting your income. And making sure that you withdraw that income in the most tax efficient way possible could mean you could potentially save, you know, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars each year.
Thinking about how you want to fill those 2,000 hours and making sure you have enough income may be important, but considering whether you want to spend all your money or leave some to future generations is also a must.
Estate planning and legacy planning is also a very, very important part of planning. So do you want to leave money to your children? Do you want to deplete your whole portfolio so that, you know, you're living your best life and you're making sure that you're using every paycheck you receive and you don't want to leave any money behind? And so that's also an option. Do you want to donate some money and leave money to charity? If you have a small business, what does the succession planning look like for that small business? So there's a lot of components to estate and legacy planning as well.
The next step, building a portfolio that lets you continue growing your assets well into your 70s and 80s and gives you enough income to achieve your goals.
Let's say you have $1 million that you have saved for your retirement. Everything that you've invested in, so your stocks, your bonds, mutual funds, if it's ETFs, if you have annuities, anything that you've invested in the market, how do we make sure that we're withdrawing from those assets that you have optimally, as we mentioned, for income, as well as to make sure that we've optimized tax? So how do we create this portfolio? What do we buy? How do we make sure that we're creating your investments in a way that we could withdraw optimally, and then your money can last, hopefully, as long as you live?
Education, says Vago, is the last, but of course not least, of the six needs.
Retirees do have a lot of anxiety because there is a lot of information out there, but it's hard to know where to start. And because retirement seems so abstract and there's so many different aspects to retirement to consider, I think it's always best to speak with an advisor so they could start to really understand the client's unique needs and like how we could solve with outcome-oriented solutions, which means, you know, if you have specific needs, we're here to solve for those needs. And on the Mackenzie website, for example, we have lots of really great resources for retirees. But I think it's definitely very important to work with an advisor who's able to customize a solution for everybody's needs.
Considering how much the definition of retirement has evolved over the years, should we even be using the word retirement? Bruce Sellery says no, but he hasn't come up with anything better.
I think we need to rebrand retirement. I tried with the post-paycheck phase. I called it the post-paycheck phase, which it didn't catch on. It's not in the title of my book. But even if you look at the definition of retire, it doesn't fit. It's not aspirational. Because when I hear the word, Brian, here's what I hear. I hear boring life, boring life, boring life, boring life. Age 65, great life, dead. And I'm not jazzed about that. I want great life, great life, great life, great life. Age 65, great life, dead. I'm not putting it off. I'm having a great life now. And so I think there's something for us to really engage in to have the saving and the investing and all the behavior for your future self be delivered appropriately, but to also acknowledge the values that we have as individuals that are so critical.
For Carlos, retirement will involve living somewhere warm, but he's in no rush to live a snowbird life.
I imagine an apartment in Malaga or a place like warm like that for at least a few months. I hope to maybe move into semi-retirement at some point, but hopefully closer to my 70s. I'm doing everything that I can to keep in good shape and healthy and that. So hopefully the genetic side of that will help me and contribute to that. And we'll go from there.
On our next episode, we'll look at what it really means to live a purposeful retirement. How can you make sure you're spending your 2,000 hours in the most fulfilling way possible? If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, visit mckenzieinvestments.com/retirement. This is Retirement Rewired. I'm Brian Borzakowski. The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purposes, and Mackenzie Financial Corporation is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions, commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the fund facts and prospectus before investing. The indicated rates of returns are historical, annual, compounded total returns, including changes to unit values and reinvestment of all dividends or distributions, and does not take into account sales, redemptions, distribution, or optional charges or income tax payable by any security holder that would have reduced returns.